Beis Shvat, Friday the 7th of January, Rabbi Danny Kirsch, Parshas Bo.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for braving the elements to join with us this morning, and the traffic as well, and the roadworks. It was only a couple of weeks ago that I found myself flying into Newark Airport in New York, somewhat excited by the fact that on the flight that I was on, just about to take my seat, somebody came up to me and said that they'd been upgraded, but they don't want to sit in the seat that they've been allotted in upgrade. They want to sit next to the person who I'd been sitting next to. Do I mind taking the upgrade? So for a flight to New York, I was willing to accept that. Baruch Hashem, arriving there in great comfort. The only thing is, as we arrived, the pilot explained to us that we may be hitting some rather stormy conditions, because we flew in to the eye of that great snowstorm that hit New York just under 2 weeks ago. And Baruch Hashem, we landed safely. We're here to tell the story. We arrived in that Golas first class, no question about that. But very soon, the sense of being stranded and the reality that New York was being enveloped by a blizzard and by thick snow was certainly an undesirous feeling. And it's unbelievable to be in an airport and suddenly the great New York, the great America, this world power is brought to its knees by the Almighty changing, turning the weather and sending a blizzard. My appointment in New York had actually been cancelled by the time I got there, which was interesting. Somehow I had to get to Miami, which I will perhaps talk about another time. But after the first 24 hours of being in the airport and standing in queue after queue after queue and watching how people, they absolutely felt deserted. Unlike our family and our community, not everybody has somebody they can phone to look after. And a woman arriving there just simply as a stopover before her next flight and being stranded for 24, 48 hours, no family, no... Baruch Hashem, I had friends, and I called somebody in Passaic, New Jersey, who very kindly came over to the airport and brought with him food to look after me and care for me. And you've got to imagine, the place is in shambles, because even when they thought that they were able to fly planes off and clear the runways, there was no staff to man the planes because the staff couldn't get into the airport. It was extraordinary. Hundreds of flights cancelled, thousands of people, and absolute bedlam. As I'm going out of this sense of golus, of this sense of being stranded, the sense of abandonment, the dramatic change in the weather, as I'm walking out of the airport to meet my friend who's brought me some supplies, I see a taxi arrive. Somebody jumps out with lots of boxes and goodies, and he says, says to the taxi driver, I'm on my way. I thought to myself, where does he think he's going? Believe it or not, one of the few flights that left that day was an El Al flight to Eretz Yisrael. And I watched literally the Jewish people go free out of that golus. And I thought, an extraordinary time of year to be dealing with these inyanim, the subjects of golus and gula, and the sense of freedom which we all so hoped for, and the sense of slavery. And I also reminded myself how Klal Yisrael arrived in Mitzrayim with such wealth and doing first class, no doubt, and then finding themselves in golus. The way HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to take the world power and humble it is a subject which I would like to share with you today, and perhaps together we can go on a little bit of a journey. The Torah in this week's Sedra famously begins, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, boy el Paro, ki ani echbadete es libo ves lev avodav leman shesiyo sesayel b'chibo. I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart, I'm going to subdue the Egyptian people. Why? In order that I can show Osasi, in order that I can show my signs to the Egyptians. The Ramban points out on this that this is not a punishment. It's very clear, the Ramban explains to us, this is not a punishment. The reason I'm doing this is Leman, in order to show my signs. I want to show the world, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that I run the world, that I'm in charge of the world. And therefore I'm going to bring these additional markers, these additional signs, in order to humble the Egyptians. Interesting enough, the Ma'or V'Shemesh has a rather unique take on these words. In order that I can see Osasai, I can show, I can display my signs. Says the Ma'or V'Shemesh, the signs that HaKadosh Baruch Hu displays by virtue of this event are two signs. One of the signs is Shabbos Kodesh, and one of the signs, he says, is Tefillin. Tefillin, which is mentioned at the end of the Sedra. At the end of this week's Sedra, we learn about Tefillin, and we find the parshas which actually in our Tefillin. The Torah tells us, for Hayol La'ois, it should be as a sign. That when we put on our tefillin and we wear tefillin, we remind ourselves of the power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He took us out of Mitzrayim. And that sign of Yetzias Mitzrayim is a sign of tefillin. It should be as a sign upon your hand. And the second sign, says the Ma'or HaShemesh, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu displays for us at all time to remind ourselves of Yetzias Mitzrayim, is Osi Le'olam. On Friday we're able to talk about Shabbos Kodesh, Baruch Hashem, just a few hours to Shabbos. Osi Le'olam, it's a sign forever. And what is that sign? As we remind ourselves in Kiddush, not only is it a zecher to remind HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, but it's also a zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. What, says the Ma'or HaShemesh, are the signs that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to show to the world? It's the signs that the Jewish people carry around with them to this very day, the signs of Tefillin and the signs of Shabbos. The Ramban at the end of the Sedra, famous Ramban, explains to us why it was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to change the whole of Egyptian philosophy and thought process, and in fact the whole world, by virtue of bringing these makos. And the famous Yesodistik Ramban explains to us that sadly people have lost their way. And people have begun involving themselves in Avodah Zorah. And they lost the concept of a divine, of a connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of the Hashkoch with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. And therefore the Ramban says the Makkas were there to clearly describe and show to the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. He can change it from a beautiful, lovely airport in New York to a snow blizzard in moments, should he wish. So the world is humbled and realizes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. Beyond that, the Ramban explains HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to show with the Makkas the Hashkachas Hashem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will differentiate. You're going to catch your flight, and you're not going to catch your flight. The NL flight's going, the others aren't. And therefore, through the Makkas, he clearly displayed who is going to and who is not. And then the Ramban explains to us as well that the Makkah showed us that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to communicate to an individual, to tell that individual that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to send at a certain time and a certain place in a certain way, that will show in an indisputable way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. And that was necessary for mankind, who sadly fallen from the Madrega of knowing and a connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in rebuilding that connection, not only to see the Hashkochas Hashem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks after every individual, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu can change the world at his whim and interact with the individuals of that world as he sees fit. Those signs, the sign of Shabbos Kodesh, is exactly that. Every week we have that constant reminder that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge of us. Sometimes it takes the humbling world of a blizzard to remind us that. But each week we have a Shabbos Kodesh. It's a sign, a screaming sign to us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. And likewise, it's a sign to us when we see the tefillin and we put on the tefillin. That means, I came in this morning and had a fascinating halacha shiur, we're talking a little bit about tefillin. When we put on our tefillin in the morning, and we prepare ourselves for putting on those tefillin, and we think and we contemplate about what's inside of those tefillin, we also have to take that contemplation and that consideration from the theoretical into the lamaisa. The Hashkochas Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. In the end, I'd had no way that I was going to get to Newark, to my next appointment in Miami. And believe it or not, there were no flights were going. I was only in America for 3 days. I decided to rent a car and drive. 1,250 miles is quite a long way. Interesting experience. And as I was making my way through the countryside of America and driving the long 27-hour journey, Bosch, and I made my appointment, and the flight back, as I'm going through the American countryside, I try and time my stop so I'll be able to dove in eggs. So I stop off at a particular, not a big Jewish community, in where I was in Georgia, I think it was about 6:30 that morning, and I stopped at a petrol station, and put on my tiles and tefillin. As I'm finishing davening, a few cars and trucks which had stopped over in the area in order to sleep over to avoid the blizzard suddenly start their way up, and as I'm taking off my tefillin, I can see the eyes of a truck driver like looking at me. What's he doing? And I'm reminded of a chazal which was actually shared with us, the Gemara which in Menachos points out the pasuk which he shared with us a little earlier. And the pasuk which tells us as follows, the Gemara says as follows, for all kalamayaretz, that the nations of the world will say, ki shem Hashem nikra lecho, that the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is upon you, and they'll be scared of you. In other words, the nations of the world will say that Klal Yisrael bear the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu upon them, and they'll be scared of them. Says the Gemara, Tani Rebbe Elzer HaGadol, Omer Eilu HaTfilin Shebarosh. What's this is referring to? It's referring to the Tfilin Shebarosh, which means that you see the Tfilin Shebarosh and they'll get scared of you. This Sipono points out, what is this referring to? That they'll see the Tfilin Shebarosh and they'll be scared of you. So the Sipono famously brings down a Maisa, he hints at this Maisa, but he brings out the famous Maisa in the Gemara, I think in Yuma, which talks about the meeting between Alexander of Macedonia and Shimon HaTzadik. And the famous story, which is well known to you, that when Shimon HaTzadik heard that Alexander the Great was coming to destroy Yerushalayim, so he got dressed in the clothes of the Kohen Gadol to prepare to meet him. The famous moment as the army and the powerhouse of the Greek world was coming towards the small but enormously spiritually powerful Shimon HaTzadik, was that great meeting when, as Alexander the Great sees Shimon HaTzadik, he gets down from his chariot, asked by soldiers, why are you doing it? He answers, because this was the vision of the man that I see when I'm going out to fight in battle. When I go out to win my battle, these are the people who I see, dressed in his full regalia. The Sifonus says, and this is what's meant when it says that the nations of the world will see that the finish of a rush, they'll see that Kol HaMayoretz Kishem Hashem Nikro, they'll see the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they'll be scared. When Shimon HaTzadik was seen by Alexander the Great was scared of him as a result of that. He didn't do battle. There's a famous point which is raised, which I have to share with you in context with it, which I'm sure some of you are aware of, and that is which is brought by Reb Levi Yitzchok, the Kedushas Levi. Says a very interesting vort. He says, I don't understand. So a lot of people wear talis and tefillin, and they're met perhaps in airports and other environments, filling stations, and they're met by the non-Jewish world. You don't necessarily see that they're willing to subserviate themselves just because they see there's a person who's wearing tefillin. It's a fair point. He says, but you have to look exactly in the Loshon of the Gemara, because the Loshon doesn't say that when they say that the tefillin shel rosh. That's not the Loshon of the Gemara. The Loshon of the Gemara is Eile tefillin sheber rosh. When they see the tefillin which are in the head, not on the head. And the Kedushas Levi says beautifully, says the job of a yid is to have the tefillin in their head. It's not just a case of wearing the tefillin. We've got to internalize and live the ideas of the tefillin. True, we put the tefillin on every day, but do we think about what the Kedushas tefillin are? Do we really realize what we're wearing? Do we consider and appreciate this is an oisi le'oilo? This is a sign. And it should be a sign for ourselves, and it should be a sign for the non-Jewish world. In fact, the Ramban explains to us in a fascinating explanation as to why, in fact, we put the tefillin on the head, on the place of memory, at the point to remind ourselves who we are and where we come from, the miracles that have happened to us as a nation, and the Hashkochas Hashem in our own private and personal life. Remember, one day after Shir at our center, a person said to me, Rabbi Kesha, I'd like to meet with you tomorrow morning, please. I've got something important I'd like to discuss. Meanwhile, the same day, it was a Wednesday, the same day, a couple of people walked into our Beis HaMedrash and they wanted to borrow tefillin. I didn't have any spare sets of tefillin. And we were a little hard up financially, and I mentioned to Rabbi Stepsky, I said, you know, we need some tefillin, but I said, you know, I'll order a couple of pairs of tefillin. I prepared the, in those days, the fax, sent off the fax to a sofa who we were buying the tefillin from, and I said, can I have two pairs of gassas, and etc., etc. The same evening, this gentleman said, I want to see you tomorrow morning. Very good. Tomorrow morning, he takes me out for a cup of coffee, says, Rabbi Kirsch, I just want to say, I've really been appreciating the shirim on Wednesday night, very inspired by it, Baruch Hashem, my wife started coming, it's a beautiful place to be, and I want to say thank you. He tells me a whole story about how his involvement in Yiddishkeit actually began by wearing tefillin. What happened to him was that he has his business somewhere not far from Stamford Hill. He's driving through Stamford Hill, and he suddenly had this sense, I've got to go and put on my tefillin. I've got to go and daven. I haven't worn tefillin since, I don't know when. I've got to daven. So he goes into Satmar, and the way this gentleman is dressed is rather culturally different to the rest of the people there. He goes into Satmar, and it happens to be there's another Hasidic guy who's just arrived from the airport. He sees him, looks after him, and offers to put on tefillin. And as a result of that, they start a connection. He comes back to him for breakfast. And through that encounter, he comes to the JLE. So it's very nice. He says to me on Thursday morning breakfast, he says, and therefore, Rabbi Kirsch, here is £800. I want you to go and buy a couple of pairs of tefillin. So it's very kind of you. The man offered me the money to buy me the tefillin, the newfound tefillin experienced individual. Of course, he didn't realize that last night I sent a fax to order the tefillin, which I didn't have the money to pay for. The Hashkochas Hashem! Every time we put on the tefillin, the Hashkochas Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, runs our lives. But in order to do that, it has to be the tefillin Sheberosh, internalizing and appreciating, as the Ramban explains to us, the Nisim of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and not only events that took place thousands of years ago, but there are events which have got to take place continuously in our lives as well.
Where did it say, who says the Sheberosh?
I'll show you afterwards. The Gemara Menachos. So the Ramban explains to us that concept has to be a continuous concept in our life, to internalize rather than just to externalize. And in order to understand and appreciate the Nisim and Niflois and the Exodus of Mitzrayim, that's a continuous Avoda. Interestingly enough, the Rambam brings our attention to a basic principle which is pertinent and relevant in our everyday life. But before I introduce you to the Rambam, I want to introduce you to a pasuk in this week's Sedra and a Gemara in Sanhedrin. The well-known pasuk in this week's Sedra in the beginning of Perek Yud Beis gives us the first mitzvah. Vayom Hashem Moshe Vel Aaron Be'eretz Mitzrayim Leima HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem. This month shall be for you the first months of the year. The Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph says as follows. Omer Reb Acha Bachanina, Omer Reb Asi, Omer Reb Yochanan, Kol Hal Mevorech Al HaChodesh Bismanoi, anybody who, actually it's referring here to Kiddush Levana, who sees the Levana, it's new, it's beautiful, it's amazing, and we go outside and we break a bracha over the new Levana. Kol Hal Mevorech Al HaChodesh Bismanoi, Ki Ilo Mekabel Pnei Shechina. A person who makes Kiddush Levana, a person who sees the moon as it starts its new cycle, it's as if they are Makabal Pnei Shechina. Why is it as if they are Makabal Pnei Shechina? Ksev Hocha, because with regards to the Chodesh, it says, HaChodesh Hazeh! As Rashi explains to us, that Moshe Rabbeinu was shown, see the new moon, go outside and literally point to it. But Ksev Hosem, and it's written over there, Zeh Keli V'Amveyu. In next week's Sedra, when Klal Yisrael saw the Nisim and the Niflois of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Parshas B'Shalach, as they came out of them, they sang the Shira, they said the famous words, Zeh Keli V'Amveyu. And that Zeh likewise meant that even the lowly maidservant was literally able, Kaviyachol, to point to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, Zeh Keli V'Amveyu, this is my God and I will glorify. And therefore, the Gemara in Sanhedrin makes a Gezer Shova. The Zer from this week's Sedra, and the Zer from next week's Sedra. The Zer of HaChodesh HaZer And the Zeh of Zeh Keli Van Veh, what's the connection between these two Zehs? And why is it that a person is literally Mekabel Pnei Shechina as a result of being able to make a brach on the Chodesh? So the Meforshim discuss it and they say as follows. The Meiri says as follows. When a person realizes and sees that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has now began the cycle again of the moon once again going on its 29 and a half day journey, and he looks up and he sees what an unbelievable world HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created. What a magnificent, miraculous world HaKadosh Baruch Hu has made. That is able to look into nature and to see the miracle of that Hiskadshus, as it's possible when, I'm just a little bit of poetic license here, but as it's possible in Klal Yisrael coming out of Mitzrayim, and you can literally see Zeh Keli Vianvehu. The same address as the Hashkocha, the same address as the miraculous nature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, turning nature upside down, splitting seas and taking millions of Yidden out of Mitzrayim, when you see the miracle of nature, and the Hiskadshus of the Levana, you can likewise point it and say, Zeh Keli Vianvehu. HaKadosh HaZeh, this month, testifies to me. And when one looks at the miracles and the extraordinary nature of nature itself, it should make a person appreciate and understand how HaKadosh Baruch Hu interacts with this world. And in fact, that's what the Rambam tells us, each one of us today. The Rambam tells us, there's a mitzvah in the Torah, V'ahavt es Hashem Elokecha, to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a mitzvah in the Torah which says, es Hashem Elokecha tira. V'hechi yaderech la'avos v'yosa. How is it possible, famous Rambam, you say the Torah, Perek Sheni, in Halacha based, the famous Rambam says this, how is such a thing possible to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to fear him? The Rambam says, B'shah, she's boinin in Adam b'maisov, u'beruv haniflorem. When a person stops and they look at this unbelievable world that Kodesh Baruch Hu has created, v'yirameihem chochmoso, they stand in awe of the great wisdom of Kodesh Baruch Hu, she'en lo erech v'lo keitz. You simply have to open the window and you simply have to look at this extraordinary world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has looked at and created for us rather, and that will bring a person to Ava. So we can see the Niflas HaBore, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns the world upside down in Yetzias Mitzrayim, and we can see Ois, it's a sign, and these are signs which we remind ourselves every Shabbos with. HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world and he looks after my panos and he looks after my world, and every time we put on tefillin we see the Hashkochos HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we realize he took us out of Mitzrayim. These are signs, living signs for us. But we can also, says the Rambam, see the miracle of HaKadosh Baruch Hu just by opening up our eyes. And here, if I can, I'd like to do a little bit of advertising for books. I don't usually use this opportunity to present, but my fellow Kohen Rabbi Avrom Katz from Gateshead has provided us with amazing books, which I encourage every parent to buy, or grandparent for their children as well. What is our wondrous world and what is our amazing world? And basically what he does in this is he just shows to us the Niflas HaBore, which sadly some of us have become so used to we forget about the miracles. So since we began today by talking about airplanes, I'd like, if I can, just to quote to you a little bit about airplanes, if that's alright with you, and explain to you about the miracle of flight. But instead of describing to you the miracle of flight in terms of modern man, I'd like to describe the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created it. Let's talk about birds. And let's just for a moment just choose a couple of things from things that he says. And it's just Maradik, Mamish Maradik, Nevlois HaBayra. And we need to... because what happens with aeroplanes is the weather impacts upon their ability to fly, as I experienced myself. And what's very interesting as well, even when they begin to fly, or they prepare themselves to fly, they had to de-ice the wings. And they watched this big machine come across and start spraying on it. In fact, I had a Talmud who was working for British Aerospace, and I asked him what he was doing. He's working on quicker ways to de-ice wings. Very interesting. Okay, they've got to de-ice the wings. So let me just talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's methods of creation. And I quote from you from his book, Our Wondrous World, page 168. And this is just a tiny section of what he writes. Although feathers are remarkably durable, they gradually wear out. Since it's not possible to go shopping for a new set. Birds have a few difficulties, hang on. And the birds wear out. So the birds simply shed the old ones and grow a new set at least once a year. But now we have a problem. Imagine that you give your car in for service and repair. How would you get from place to place in the interim? Good question. The bird needs its large primary feathers, the ones that attach to its wings, for flying. If they were all to fall out simultaneously, how would our bird fly? Good question. Yeah. Have no fear. In a planned system, everything is taken care of. Flight feathers are shed and replaced in a specific order that allows a bird to continue flying while molting. As the feather changes are taking place, it's losing them and regrowing them mid-flight, feather by feather. And I mentioned a little bit about the weather situation. Let's talk about how birds cope with rainy weather. And just a moment for us to think. In rainy weather, you and I protect ourselves by putting on a raincoat, which is understandable. If the feathers of a bird become waterlogged and heavy, the bird would have as much chance of flying as a hippopotamus. How then do birds protect their precious feathers from the elements? The answer is oil. Water tends to run straight off an oily surface without wetting it. Not surprising this, when birds have been equipped with their own oil pump. When preening, a bird spreads all onto its feathers from the preen gland on its rump. And he goes on to explain to us that the most simple thing of watching a bird fly, which is much more sophisticated than any of these mechanical things which you make, you see the Niflaeus Arborei. You watch and you see it in your own eyes. Just look at anything that HaKadosh Baruch has created with such unbelievable genius. And that's why I encourage young people and mature people as well, read these books and see, the more you understand science, I have a high quality biology teacher sitting here in the audience, the more you understand the miracle of the world, the more you appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. Sedra begins, Ki aneach ichbadet es libo, because I want to show the world something. Leman shisio sasai, I want to show my signs. Those are the signs of Shabbos, and those are the signs of Tefillin, beyond the miracles, of course. The drush. Those are the signs which we carry around with us continuously to remind ourselves this isn't history, it's real. And in a moment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can stop the world's great power, and the big airport can come to halt, and hundreds of aeroplanes can be stranded, and nobody can get anywhere. And we need on a daily basis to see that HaKadosh Hazeh is not only about an event in history. But as Klal Yisrael are about to leave Mitzrayim, they're reminded that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge. He's in total charge. And he's not only in charge in destroying Egypt and bringing it to its knees, but he's in charge of your personal life as well. And every day, as we go out and we point to the miracles of nature, we remind ourselves that just like a person says, HaKadosh Hazeh, they're Mekabel Pnei Shechina, like Zeh Keli Ve'Anveu. Our touch on that is that the more they understand and appreciate the genius of nature, appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and internalize it, the better you're going to be. Have a wonderful day.